Yes.
It is Valentine's Day. There was a Valentine's Day a few years ago where we had a kissing expert on, someone who said they were a kissing expert. And so now we're taking it to the next stage. Jennifer Valley is a, I'm reading her bio here, is a psychotherapist who specializes in sexual health. She is a licensed therapist in Tennessee and also a certified sex therapist. She's on the board of advisors for Men's Fitness Magazine and an instructor at the UT Health Science Center. So she's like a real live, Dr. Ruth Westheimer right here in our very midst. And so, Jennifer, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
So let me ask you this. It's Valentine's Day, and I think we do not have exclusively male listeners. We have a vibrant female audience here, okay? But, and I'm gonna immediately lapse into stereotypes. All the men out there think they're going to get some tonight. Is it a lock?
It's not a lock.
Oh, you're killing me. It's not a lock?
It's not.
Tell me about Valentine's Day.
All right, so I think Valentine's Day is a tricky holiday. In general, if we're going to gender stereotype, men do think like celebratory holidays.
Birthdays,
Valentine's Day, anniversaries. They think something's going to happen.
Maybe St. Patrick's Day, President's
not.
Day, Veterans Day, right? There's
Monday.
Monday's also good, right? Mondays, right?
They think that if they get the perfect gift,
yeah,
which is a lot of pressure on men, then if they get the perfect gift and they play all their cards right, they do everything they're supposed to do,
right,
then it's going to happen.
Ba-boom.
Ba-boom. Right. But what happens with women for Valentine's Day is they kind of romanticize the whole idea of Valentine's Day, and they end up they basically want this emotional connection.
Right.
And so if you look at men and
impractical.
If we're gender stereotyping, and we think about men and women, actually what produces sexual satisfaction for the genders really varies a lot. So men rank orgasm and pleasing a partner number one and two. Both of those things are really important to men. And for women, they put orgasm rated as number four.
Really?
Yeah, four. Number one, emotional connection, dialogue with a partner, emotional intimacy. All these things are ahead of it. So it's on the list, but it's not what determines if some interaction was sexually satisfying or not.
So, I wonder, is that that's actually true? In other words, this whole idea of men want bada boom, fireworks, the end, everyone to reach that happy place. That's what men want. And women want gauzy connection and emotion. Like, even that feels stereotypical. Women out there who, like, just want to get, zingo?
Yes. And we are gender stereotyping. I'm talking about studies on the whole.
Okay, so it's not just stereotype. This is actual science. Right.
But I definitely, in my practice, see a lot of people with, like, say, men with low desire, men that have trouble. And that's hard for men. I think it's a lot of pressure on men because we expect men to be the ones to be the aggressors, the men that want to have the high drive. And what I'm telling you is that that's not always true. I'm telling you in general what we're saying here.
Right, I understand.
I see both.
You see more examples of men with low drive than one would imagine.
Yes, more than one imagine.
Really?
Yes.
Because I imagine that people come to you and they say, here's the problem, Jennifer. And of course, this is all, by the way, hetero, whatever. Like it's
right.
There's all kinds of couples out there, but what in your typical heterosexual couple, what I imagine is the man comes in and says, I'm not getting any, it's been months, it's pathetic. What kind of a marriage is this? Like, come on, this is ridiculous. And the woman is saying, he can't expect to just, I'm not interested in him anymore because all he wants is sex. And I'm turned off, and I don't, and whatever. What does he expect? I mean, I'm just a machine and an object. And what I imagine the typical problem is.
I definitely get couples or individuals that meet that, but then I also get totally the opposite. And I get women that have higher drive. I get women that are angry when the men don't get higher drive because they're used to the men being assertive.
How big a part of, because I imagine that in the midst of all this, resentment is
huge.
Huge.
Huge. Because
huge.
If somebody is like repeatedly, whether it's the woman or the man, repeatedly
rejecting,
initiating, or one person is 100% of the time the initiator, and that they're going to just end up with hurt feelings. They're going to end up feeling, because I think a lot of people that, some people, people approach this all differently. And so some people do look to sex to see, do I have validation? Does person, do
it's
I have
sort
value?
Of the ultimate in validation.
Right.
You want me. Like, I'm you the person me. Who's supposed to want me the most wants me.
Right.
It's the ultimate. And so it's the ultimate rejection.
Right. Right. The other thing that's important here is women's sexual response. If we're talking about a heterosexual relationship, or one that is a gay relationship that involves two women, right?
Yeah.
And if it involves women at all, right. This is important.
Right.
Women do not usually, let's say this differently. Men usually start with sex with a biological drive, desire, and then arousal with an erection, and then orgasm. It's pretty linear, and
right.
It's pretty straightforward. And again, I'm gender stereotyping because
right.
I don't see all that, right?
Right.
But a lot of men follow that.
Right.
And then they expect the woman to do the same thing.
They okay? want it, right, they want
they
it first.
They expect this biological
right, exactly.
drive
right.
for them from the woman. So in terms of like, why am I not getting any, I'm right. kind of bummed out. She's never into it. She's never into it. That's
right.
the biggest complaint. She's
how
never
demoralizing
into it.
That
right.
is.
So,
but, honestly,
but,
the truth
but,
of the matter is these the holiday sex is kind right. of demoralizing in its own way, because then it's just like some favor that's being bestowed upon you because it's my birthday.
Feels
get
like,
out of here with the birthday.
Feels like
sex.
A task.
It feels like a task,
right.
a chore.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, to understand this, women in long-term relationships,
right.
not necessarily in the first year, but in long-term relationships, women don't approach sex. Their sexual response pattern does not match men with this biological drive at the start. Usually women start with this neutral feeling. So I'm just sitting here, right?
Right.
And I'm thinking, we should probably be together. Okay, this is not like the movies. This is
right.
like
right.
a cognitive thought,
right.
neutral feeling. I'm just sitting here. We should probably be together. And then as we get into the bedroom and we start to engage, then I start to feel something, and then I get my mind into it, and then I have desire, and then maybe orgasm if it's the right kind of stimulation.
Right.
So really, if you look at men and women, desire and arousal come in opposite order. Men.
So
get
the
this-
advice for women, I think this is important. Just do it. Is that- and then it'll kick in. But well, not, you're not saying that you're not obligated to do
I
it.
Mean,
I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Like, you're not obligated to do it. But if you just give it a try, it's the old, hey, you might like it.
Yeah, it ends up
you'll,
going,
you'll warm up.
It ends up going better. Yeah. What it goes better. It goes better. If it goes, it goes better in process. Women get their desire in process, and that usually helps.
What are the biggest complaints from men and from women? And
okay.
again, hetero, what are being
okay.
sorely heteronormative, as they say here, but
right.
what are the biggest complaints?
Well, and even, let's say,
okay.
well, we're just looking at, let's just look at men, whether they're straight or gay.
Okay.
Right? Okay, so men come in with erectile dysfunction, which...
How frequent?
Often. Erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, delayed ejaculation, they come in with low drive. They come in with a desire discrepancy where one partner has higher drive than the other. So neither one of them are dysfunctional or sex addicts.
Just doesn't match.
It just basically is one is higher than the other. Women come in with low drive. They come in with painful sex. They come in with...
Not in the 50 Shades of Grey kind, the bad kind. Right. The bad kind of painful sex, right?
Bad kind of
right,
painful
right,
sex,
okay.
yes.
I'm just clarifying for the listeners.
I have to say, I do get a batch of people that come in.
Is there
for
more of that, by the way? How do we...
or paraphilia, some kind of fetish.
Has there been
trying...
more of that since the 50 Shades stuff? Like, have you seen...
I don't
seen...
think there's
no.
more of it, but I think that... I mean, we live in the Bible Belt, so this is usually not talked about.
Right.
But basically, I definitely get a batch of people that you would not be thinking... you know, are going into a kind of alternative, whether open relationships or whatever the situation,
right.
polyamorous or
okay, so we are.
And there's a ton of shame with that.
That's the thing. This whole thing is so screwed up, aren't we? Like, is every country so screwed up? Like, there's
no.
there's nothing really. Isn't
because
everyone? Sex is so screwed. It's funny. It's like if you go out there and you see two cats doing it in the middle of the night, actual cats, you can't imagine that they all have like. Low drive, high drive, whatever. They're just like doing it on the, they're doing it in the fence post and it's the middle of the night and they're waking up the neighborhood. And they're not thinking like all this stuff that's embedded in and all this expectations and perfection and shame and all that stuff. How do we screw it up so badly?
We have influences about how our family of origin has shaped us. We have influences about how religion, if they've only talked about, maybe they've only talked about what not to do and they don't really talk about pleasure. religion usually doesn't talk about pleasure, but some do, depends on the religion. We have histories of sexual trauma that has an impact. People want to dampen their feelings rather than engage. There's lots of things that come into it, but we're just not open as a culture in terms of that. And our pregnancy rates, our teen pregnancy rates reflect that. So if you look at, we have three times the pregnancy rate as France and Germany and four times the teen pregnancy rate as the Netherlands, because they address it.
Because they talk about it, and so therefore they deal with it. And here we deny it, and so therefore we don't even deal with it.
Exactly.
I want some, again, we're talking to Jennifer Valley. She's a sex therapist. She is on the board of advisors for Men's Fitness Magazine, instructor at UT Health Science Center. What's the typical? I read this because I was looking at the sex issue of the flyer, and you're quoted in there as an expert, which you are. And I was stunned by this. Typical duration of the old mating process. Not the process, but the actual mating itself.
Right. So if you exclude foreplay.
Fully engaged.
4 to 7 minutes.
4 to 7 minutes. That's average.
That's average.
So if you're in the 4 minute range, you should be feeling, hey, no problem.
That's exactly right.
Really?
4 to 7 minutes.
But isn't that. Isn't it if you're in a heterosexual. That's more, not enough to get her there, is it? To get her to the...
Actually, probably not. Women take about 7 to 14 minutes longer to orgasm, and that's why usually vaginal penetrative sex is not the way to make that happen.
4 to 7 is normal, though.
Right.
So men out there should be feeling pretty good about themselves.
Yes.
Really? 4 to 7?
Less than 1 minute is premature ejaculation.
Less than a minute is premature. Right. If you can get to 1 minute and 10 seconds...
Well, we can do things to work on that and right. Make it longer, right?
Okay.
How
often are people having sex?
What the frequency
is?
Yeah,
frequency.
Frequency, a third of, this is going to be depressing, but third of couples have sex less than once a month to not at all. One third of couples. And that's not just older couples. That's one third.
And what percentage of that do you think are happy with it? Some people are probably just happy with it.
I don't know that there's a couple that both of those people.
Unless
they
think, 96.
See it as failure. No, I know it's not age.
Even then.
It reflects on you as a couple. Think about it. You go to the movies.
Right.
You go and you're like, see what's going on. And immediately they think, my wife doesn't have this biological drive. So neither of them do anything. They just assume.
So a third is a month or once a month or less.
And that's considered a sexless marriage.
Okay.
Okay. So then a third of couples are about every other week, and then a third of couples are more than that. So we're all over the place. But average is every 12
Only
days.
Only a third of couples out there is more than every other week. Is even once, even right. Even as much as once a week.
Average is every 12 days.
Average is every 12 days.
Yeah.
It is funny. That's just so different
the
than
idea
what we expect. And so people just feel bad about themselves.
Everybody just thinks everybody's having more sex than we are.
Everybody thinks that everybody's having more sex than they are. Everybody thinks they're a better driver than the other person, and everybody thinks that everybody else is having more sex than they are. Those are like two of the truths of life, I believe. So let me ask you this. Okay, the pill, the female pill, does it work?
It's 8 to 12% of women.
God, that's depressing.
It's terrible. Compared to placebo, one more sexual experience a month compared to placebo, and they included self-stimulation.
Wow.
So, woman
so
goes
that's
on
not
the
a
medicine.
Very good pill. No, I mean, relatively.
Right. The
relatively
woman goes
speaking.
On the pill for 90 days compared to like a Viagra Cialis they just take in the moment, right? Women have to take it. They have to take it for 90 days, get side effects. If they drink it all, it messes up their blood pressure. And then it's only effective for 8 to 12% compared to placebo one extra time a month.
Do men think they have to be porn stars?
I think the problem, I'm not, we should talk about porn. Not porn bashing.
We absolutely should. Gary would say we should. Gary Parrish would say we should. So go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
All right, so I don't mean to porn bash. But what did you just ask me?
Do we think we should be porn stars?
Porn, my personal opinion is that porn is not a good source of information because people, you know, they instead of getting good sex ed and doing things like you're doing right now by having me on here with
accurate
information.
We're doing a service here with Jennifer Valley, certified sex therapist, right.
People go to that and they get the information and they think that that's what's normal, right? Right. They get that's why they think that they're premature ejaculating, right?
Right.
Okay. But in terms of porn, it's an interesting thing because, you know, some feminists are against porn because they feel like it's degrading to women. And then there's another batch of feminists that feel like they're pro-porn because they feel like women should be not shamed around sexuality. They right. should be not shamed to watch it. They should not be shamed to be in it. So in practice, I get people that some couples look at porn and I'm thinking, all right, go for it. That's working for both of you. Other couples will never look at it. They feel like, they just think, no way, I'm not comfortable with that. And then there's some that are disagreeing, right? Well, one person is looking at it and one's not, right. and we have to negotiate that. So I leave it up to the couple.
My larger question is men think they have to be perfect. Like, we think it's a performance thing. And if we hit all the right buttons and do everything right and are the right, right, then there will be everything, this stuff we thought we saw in the movies.
Yeah, I think that it's not just porn. I think it's also how men are socialized as men, right? They're socialized to be competent and perfect at everything they do. So, like, first, nice to meet you, Jeff. What do you do for a living? That's, like, the first thing. For women, it's, like, nice to meet you. You're pretty. You're not pretty. I mean, women get their own pressure. But for men, they're so socialized to be competent and perfect. So the problem with sex is that when they approach a dysfunction and they start to have a problem, they immediately withdraw from interacting. They immediately don't want to appear humiliated. So they want to have as they get older, or even if they're just having dysfunction, they want to have a rock hard. They want to have a rock hard rigid erection.
Men do.
Yes, before they engage. So they won't engage. So if they're a little worried
that they're not going to be Mr. Olympia,
they will not engage at all. And so then they'll go a long period of time without engaging at all. Then you get women that are calling me saying, what's wrong with him? What's wrong? He won't engage at all.
How, by the way, is there a certain amount of courage that it takes to even go to a sex therapist?
Yeah.
I imagine we're going to go see a sex therapist.
Right.
I imagine a lot of regular therapists deal with some of these things, right? But to actually walk into your door, there must be a threshold, not a physical threshold, but an emotional threshold to cross into that.
I would say that it's a knowledgeable consumer, because people that go to regular therapists will just say, have a little wine. It'll help your vaginal tightening and let you relax. It'll help your erectile dysfunction. Have a little wine and relax. And you know what that does? It decreases blood flow, and it's going to make both of those issues harder. So I would say that really, if you're having any kind of sexual dysfunction, find somebody certified in ASECT. It's American Association of Sexual Educators, Counselors, and Therapists that have had the training and that are not just using their personal experience to talk about sex.
Do people get better?